It's so good to have you with us this morning. It is so wonderful. And I hope that today you enjoy every part. I do hope you'll come back this afternoon if you're able to. I know some are traveling through. In fact, let me mention one that I know we're fixing to head back. It's such an honor this morning to have Jason and Jennifer with us, Gibson, all the way from Tennessee now, as that's where they live, and it's such an honor to have them. I saw Jolie run upstairs sitting on my couch, and her and Caitlin were running around, and Jason used to be youth pastor here several buildings ago, and so God has blessed them, and they're doing a wonderful work in Tennessee, and it's such an honor this morning to have you guys with us, I hope y'all have a safe trip through this beautiful weather outside, and be careful, and we love you guys. We just want you to know we love you so much. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles today, and let's go to the book of Proverbs, my favorite book of the Bible. But I want to pull out a section here, and maybe the kids will enjoy this as well as the adults. Wisdom is a huge part of my life. It's just the important part of my life. Wisdom, if you hang around me, what I do and what I say and how I go about life is very important. It's not haphazard. It's not just done. It's done in wisdom. And so the book of Proverbs is my favorite book. And you can just pull out sections and spend entire months studying and researching. And so today I want to pull out just one section, one of my favorite that I've studied years ago and wanted to kind of pull it back out and use it as a sermon this morning, as we want to talk about the little things. The little things. Look at the person beside you and say, how good are you at the little things? It's not the big things that will cause you the problems. It was the little things. And in Proverbs 30, where you're turning to, is where we're going to find our work today and find where we're going to need to work and do. And Proverbs 30, verse 24, let's turn there and we'll begin this. And after I read it, you'll know kind of where we're headed. There are four animals that I want to deal with today. Four animals that are very important in the kingdom. In fact, Solomon notices them and gives them incredible rewards for their wisdom and for also noticing their stature. They are small. They are not powerful. They are not anything that you would think is of any importance. But in the 30th chapter in verse 24 is where we will begin. He says it this way: there are four things which are little upon the earth. Little things. But they are exceedingly wise. In other words, if you want to move it to New Testament, there are four things that seem like they're not that important. They don't seem to have that big of a deal. If you just looked at them, you would think, well, it's not going to matter. But yet, they are exceedingly wise. They are incredibly able to push you or promote you into the future or to give you a destiny or to give you a life. Listen and let's read. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers or the conies are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the dregs or in the clefts of the rock. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. These four things, four different creatures that Solomon notices qualities of them that allows them to not only survive, but to thrive and to always move forward. Now I want us to walk through these four, and I want us to look at them each. First, let's look at the ant. As they pull that up, and they're going to try to give you kind of a picture, a slideshow every now and then. There we go. The Hebrew word for ant literally means to creep. Look at the person beside you and say, can you creep? The other layout of it is simply that you cut off or that you destroy. Look at the person beside you and say, can you destroy some stuff? Can you cut off some stuff? See, the ant has this ability. In fact, when we look at this scripture, notice what the ant's ability is. The ants are people not strong. They are not big. They are not large. They are just little bitty creatures, and yet they seem to creep around. They don't make noise. They don't go tromping around. They just are very silent, but there they are. And as they are creeping along, they are constantly destroying or enveloping or taking over whatever area it is. It doesn't matter. Yesterday I came up, and even though we built this building and we think, man, it's beautiful. I walked outside, and right there as you walk out of the side door, a giant fire ant bed had just decided right in the middle of the slab, decided we're going to live here. They didn't ask. It wasn't like built over a 6-month period. Nobody came to me and said, hey, the ants decided they're going to move. They just decided one night, you know what, right here is where we want to be. I like the atmosphere. I like the view. It gets a good breeze. We like it right here. And so they just decided to start building right there in the middle of the concrete. They don't care how much the concrete cost. They don't care how much it took. They don't care if it messes with your world. And if you get in their way, they might bite you just for the fact that, you know what, you're messing up our plan. Ants creep. They have the ability to cut off. They have the ability to destroy. But yet, notice them. Ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. So when Solomon is talking about ants, he's not talking about a specific type of ant. Now, when we think of ants, we think of fire ants and things of that nature. When Solomon is thinking of, he's thinking of a vegetable ant. Not a fire ant, not a. In fact, there's two different types of ants that you will meet. One is carnivorous, or to the point to where it just lives off whatever it can grab. I used to love, and I know it sounds really crazy, but when I was really bored at the firework stands and different things, and years ago, you'd have flies in the summertime, and it was so funny to swat a fly. And I know you're gonna think this is boring now. Y'all got videos and all this, but you'd swat the fly. And you'd see ants. So you'd take the dead fly and sit it right there by the ant bed. And you kids have never done this, you need to do it. You need to pull up a chair and you need to take something, a dead fly, and sit it by there and watch them. They can't get it through the hole. So what they have to do is first they'll start chewing and they'll bite one wing off. Then they'll bite the other. And they'll keep dismembering it until they can get every single piece of that fly, slowly but surely, it just piece by piece, it goes down. And it's so cool. I know, I live a very boring life. But it is something to watch them, but we're not talking about carnivorous ants. What we're talking about is ants that are vegetable ants. Now, they're different. Because here's what happens. Vegetable ants wait till it's summertime. They wait till the fruit is being produced. They wait till everything. And you would think that an ant at that moment, or any of us at that moment, would say, why do we need to worry? I mean, look at all the fruit. Look at all the stuff. I mean, we can eat for days. Look, there's 1,000. We're little bitty ants. Look how many apples is on that tree. Look how many pomegranates are on that tree. We've got nothing to worry about. Now, we know within 2 months all of them fall off and all of them will be gone. But the ant has the wisdom within itself to do one thing that makes it powerful in the kingdom. The ant has the ability in itself to prepare for something that it doesn't see yet. You see, the first quality, it doesn't take anything major. It doesn't take anything of any great intellect. It's just the ability to prepare yourself for something that's coming. In life, you know what I deal with as a pastor more than anything else? I deal with people's ill-prepared life. That's all I deal with. Somebody's going to come to me next week and say, y'all have any groceries? Sure. I got some at the church. I got some at the house. I got groceries everywhere. I got stuff in a deep freeze. I have people come to me and say, Brother Lott, you know, I can't pay my light bill. What do you mean you can't pay your light bill? How'd you get here? I got my car out there. Well, what kind of car you got? Well, I got a 2013 Charger. And you can't pay your light bill. I tell you what you do. You take that charger down here to one of these auto places and you say, can I swap this for like a $5,000 piece of junk that'll get me from here to there for a while? Because for me to pay my light bill means I got to reduce my car bill by about $200. But what people don't do in life is they don't prepare in life. And because we don't prepare for things, you say, Brother Lott, that's not me. Praise God, that's not me. But yet here you are. Some of you got old parents. Some of you got people that's sick in your life. And you act like they never going to die. Some of you need to take a few moments and prepare yourself for death. You need to look at them and just go up to them and say, you're going to be dead soon. We need to talk. Now, soon may be 10 years, soon may be 20 years, but you're going to be dead soon. I talk to my parents that way. My dad may live to be 100. He's 70-something. But I look at, Dad, you ain't going to live forever now. I know, son. Look, is there anything you want to do? Is there anything we want to... I flew him out to Boston several years ago, and I still want to go fishing with him this summer. Why? Because I realize I've got to prepare for the fact that life is going to change on me. Some of you don't prepare. You just keep living like, well, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to do it. You need to go to the ants. If an ant sees a dead fly, he doesn't say, we can get dead flies anytime. A dead fly is a dead fly. They'll start dismembering it, taking it down below and say, we may not eat it today, may not need it right now, but when I get hungry, I know where it's laying. And Solomon said, let me tell you something about the ants. They prepare. In the summer, when there's fruit and plenty of food everywhere and the grass is green, you know what the ants do? They're working. What are they working doing? They are dismembering the fruit and taking the seeds of the fruit and taking it down. They've got like a squirrel, a whole nest of seeds down below the ground so that when it gets cold and there's no food up top and everything's gone away, they're sitting down there chewing on pomegranate seeds saying, you know, it's going to be good another day, but it ain't going to be today. Let's just keep eating and keep relaxing and watch the Super Bowl. Let's just, whatever we got to do, we don't have to worry about it today. Why? Because we have prepared our lives for this. Some of you need to prepare that you're not always going to have the job. Some of you need to prepare. You're not always going to have it good. You're not always going to have everything taken care of. And what are you going to do in those moments when sickness or problems hit? Brother Lott, I just believe in God. God says there's a time and a season for everything. Come on, let's be honest. The people you have to deal with in your life, you walk away from and you're like, what were they thinking? You won't tell them that. But what you're thinking is the same thing. Why didn't they prepare? They knew they couldn't afford that car. They knew it was going to have a flat tire. What do you mean? They spent every dollar. If they took everything they made, they could pay the insurance, the note, and pay the gas. But they never prepared for one flat tire. In life, this is the way it is. And the world depends on you not being prepared. The world feeds on you not being prepared. How do you know? I can solve it real quickly. All I got to do is check your credit card account. That's all I got to check. Brother Lott, I'm prepared. How prepared? To pay 20% interest on what you're not prepared for? Is that how you're prepared? That ain't prepared. That's called slavery. The borrower is slave to the lender. You need to lay your credit cards down sometime and just lay on the floor. Oh, holy credit card. Which saves me from catastrophes and flat tires and things I can't afford. You say, Brother Lott, that's ridiculous. The ant would think so. The ant would say, why didn't you put something back? Even an ant knows to put something back. So in your life, the first thing, if you want to learn wisdom, is to learn from the ant. And I don't have all day to deal with him. I could preach a whole sermon on the ant. But the fact is, the ant has this one quality. He has the quality to say that, you know what? The ant gathers his seed in the season of ripening and stores them for future use. Number two, let's notice the next person on our list. The rock badgers, or the conies, are feeble folks. I like the way he says, ants are people not strong. The rock badgers are feeble folks. Yet they make their homes in the clefts of the rocks. They make their houses in the rocks. One of the things about the conies that's so amazing to me, they're not kin to the rabbits. They're not kin to any rodent, even though they look like one. That right there, you know what its ancestors are what it's kin to? Rhinoceros. It's in the rhinoceros family. Now tell me how you get that from a rhinoceros. But it's not in the rabbit family. It's not when they DNA it, they do everything. It comes from a family of kin to a rhinoceros. Its eyesight is not good. In fact, when you look at it, its paws are not even designed for digging. It don't even have feet that digs. It can't dig a burrow. It can't dig a hole. It can't find any way to protect itself. It doesn't build anything. It doesn't design anything. It doesn't do anything of any quality. That's why when Solomon looked at it, he said, "That's a feeble little creature. It's pitiful. It doesn't fit. It doesn't have a place. It doesn't make sense why God created that animal and stuck it right there." But here's the thing about it. The Bible describes it in verse 24. It said that it is exceedingly wise, like the ant. The ant is a little thing, but yet it's wise. And yet here's the coney, which has no ability to dig. Its feet are not formed for digging. But it has one quality that it has learned. It has learned how to hide. Look at the person beside you and say, "Can you hide well?" David could hide well. That's why when you read the Psalms, you're going to read about him talking about, "I hide in the cleft of the rock." Why does he say it? Because he looks at the coney and says, "Look at that little creature. It can't fight. It can't defeat. Just like I couldn't beat Goliath and I can't beat Philistines. But you know what? It has the ability that at the time of trouble and the time that it feels distressed, it knows what rocks are good for. Birds can't peck through rocks. The animals can't pull back boulders. When I get up in the cleft of a rock, I am safe. Nothing is getting to me." And in life, some of us, this is our second problem. When we get in a problem, we call our mama. That doesn't sound like a cleft of a rock. When we get in problems, we go get high. We go play golf. We ain't got money. What are you going to do? I'm going to go spend money to play golf. Well, that's smart. Where do you hide when problems come? Now, we done talked about the ant realizes that season's going to change. The second animal he says I've noticed that is wise is an animal that realizes that, you know what, danger's going to come. Seasons are going to change. Danger's going to come. One says, "I've got to store up." The second one says, "I got to have a good place to hide." And if you come around people who are Christians, I mean, really live it out Christians, you're not going to find strong people. You're not going to find mighty people. You're not going to find real great intellectual people. What you're going to find is you're going to find people that when they get in trouble, they know how to run to God. They know how to run to Him quick. They know how to get to Him. They know how to say, "You know what? I got to go pray. I need to find me a closet somewhere." Why? Because when things get difficult, I got a rock that I can run to that it can't get to me. You can't hurt me. You can't tear me down. You can't kill me. I stand on the rock of my salvation, as the song would say. I go to the rock that the builders rejected. I go to the rock. Why? Because he is wise in the ability to realize. He realizes that, you know what, I don't have the abilities within myself. You know what the enemy depends on? You know what the enemy depends on in you? First, he depends on that you will not realize that things will change and you won't prepare for change. Then when catastrophe hits and you're not prepared, he's hoping, secondly, that you do the next thing. That you have a misguided view of hiding. so that you come with the attitude, I will figure it out. I'll figure it out. The Bible describes of the enemy, Satan himself, and says, let me describe him to you. He is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. What's he looking for? Is he looking for the biggest one in the herd? Is he looking for the... No, he's looking for that dumb one. Look at that one. Way out there by itself. Look at that one. You know what that one's thinking? I got this. I got this. I don't need to hang out with all of y'all. I'm sick of hanging out with y'all. I got this. I'll figure it out. The enemy looks the same way at us. And he says, what I'm hoping is that you will come with the mindset that you will figure it out. The doctor just gave me a diagnosis for cancer. We'll figure it out. We'll make it. Hey, Brother Lott, I'm going through some stuff. But hey, don't worry. We'll figure it out. What he doesn't want more than anything else is he doesn't want you running to a rock where he can't get to you. He can't hurt you. He can't stop you. My life has been built off this mindset. First, I have to prepare. If you don't know, it's raining. Be glad you're inside. First off, I realize that I have to prepare in life. When we've done anything or do anything, I don't just wake up in the morning and say, let's try this. You've got to prepare your mind. You've got to prepare for what you're wanting to do. You've got to prepare for good and bad. Secondly, when you've prepared, things are going to go wrong. Things are going to go wrong. In my life, your life, any life, things are going to go wrong. But it's who you run to and what you run to at that moment. Some of us run to Facebook, start complaining, take selfies, and boy, that fixed it. Now 10,000 more people knows your mess. But it didn't fix it. Learn to run to God. Learn to run quickly. As soon as you sense danger, as soon as you sense trouble, let the weak say that I am... First, I have to admit I'm weak. I can't. Well, then how can you say you're strong? Because I'm weak, I realize that I've got to be real close to a rock. I'm not strong, but the rock is. And now I realize that I'll make it. I won't go under because of this. Number three, let me hurry. Get you out of here. I know you're dying to get outside. Number three, we deal with this third animal. How you doing so far? How's your savings account? How's your credit card? If I check your Facebook, if I check your prayer time, if I check what you run to, what would I find? Do I find somebody prepared? Do I find somebody that says, you know what, I know where I run to every time I got problems. I don't need anybody else to pray over my food. I pray all the time. I'm good at praying. I'm good at running. I'm good at going. So now here we go, number three. The third animal is the locust. Listen how it says, the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. I love that. The locusts have no king. Now, locusts are a real incredible creature. If you have a study of these three animals, this one is a fun one too. The locust, literally, his hind legs allow him to do this. He can leap to a height of 200 times his size. Now, that doesn't mean he can jump over a building, but what it means is compared to how big he is, he can jump 200 times that height. You talk about Superman leaping over tall buildings. But why does he do that? Because here's why. The locust only has one desire, and that's to eat up everything that's around him. And the locust eats and eats and eats and eats, and they go together because they have to go in this mindset. They're going to eat and eat and eat and eat everything that there is, and then they decide, all right, boys, y'all feel that? Feel what? That wind. You feel that wind? All right, let's get ready. Good breeze blowing. Woo! 200 times its size, it jumps up in the air, and it starts going crazy. The only problem is it don't fly good. You ever hear a locust flying? It's just... I mean, it's like... It sounds like somebody's dying. It's because it wasn't built for flying. It's not a bird. In fact, the locust has no ability to turn. It can't turn. It doesn't have the ability. It only has the ability to jump as high as it can and go, I got this. Why? Because the locust depends on one thing. The wind. Oh, no. The locust says, you know what? All I've got going for me is when the wind is blowing, it'll blow me from one grass patch to the next grass patch. Listen how the prophet Joel says this. They're unable to guide their flight, although they are able to cross large areas because of this ability. Here's what Joel 2 and 6 and then 8 and 9 says. Woe to the countries beneath them. If the wind fall and let them alight. In other words, if the wind blows your way, buddy, too bad for you because they bring in the locust. They descend unnumbered as flakes of snow and hide the ground. It may be like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them is desolation and wilderness. And their approach to people are in anguish. All faces lose their color. Listen to Joel 6. No walls can stop them. No ditches arrest them. Fires kindled in their path are forthwith extinguished by the myriads of their dead. In other words, here's what happens when you say we're going to kill them out. They just simply throw the dead bodies below them and keep walking on top of them. They don't quit. They don't stop. They just know how to eat. They just know how to devour. Their job is not to figure out where. Their job is not to figure out how. Their job is not to figure out anything. Their job is to eat and to fly. Their job is to eat and to fly. And we as Christians, if we could get this in our mind, we're not here to make decisions. We're not here to choose. We're not here to do anything. We have the power of the Spirit of God that allows us, we call it the wind. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, that's what it was described as a mighty rushing wind that did what? It drove them from an upper room and carried them down into the streets where 3,000 got saved. If you want to be the Christian that God's called you to be, it's real simple. You've got to prepare. You've got to, in forehand, prepare for good, for bad, for everything that's going to come. Secondly, you've got to decide in your life, like the ant or like the coney, you've got to decide, I got a good place to hide. When things go bad, I know where to hide. But what's my attitude? Here's my attitude. When the Spirit of God says I gotta go, I gotta go. When the Spirit says I'm moving this away, I'm moving that way. I don't argue. I don't fuss. I just simply fly. And when I land, I eat up everything around me. And when God says it's time to go eat up some more, I eat up some more. Let me tell you what All Seasons is about. It's about God 20 years ago simply blowing a wind into me and Elisa's life and saying, listen, I got a place in Forest. Would you like to go? God, if you want us to go. I don't know anything about it. I'm not choosing. I'm just going to go wherever you put me. If you put me at Booger Den, I'm going to grow a church in Booger Den. If you put me in Jackson, I'll grow a church in Jackson. I don't care where I got to go. That's not my business. I'm not God. But here's what's going to happen. Wherever I land, wherever my feet hit the ground, all of a sudden, I'm going to chew up everything that's around me. I'm going to eat up everything until it's gone, and you're going to have to enlarge my borders. Some of you, if you'd get that attitude, you'd realize if God's put you in a family, then learn how to eat up the family. Before you say, you know what, I need this and I want that, why don't you win just that group around you? Brother Lott, I don't know if I can. Well, then you're not biblical. Because you want to grow in the church, the first place it says is you grow your family. Then when you grow your family, then you move outside to your friends. And when people who know you know that you got the real stuff, now all of a sudden you can grow into the community. That's the way it works. That's why it's only took me 20 years to get here. Why? Because when I moved here, I had to grow a family. The people had to watch my family. Then they had to find out I wouldn't quit and I wouldn't leave. And slowly but surely you grow into the community. Now I go into Garden Patch and people's like, hey, Pastor Lott. I don't tell them to call me Pastor Lott. It's not anything on my birth certificate says Pastor Lott. It's something that over 20 years they've realized he's eating up the ground. He's eating up the territory. That's what I was born to do. To the world, we ought to be like locusts. They ought to say, oh Lord, here they come. If one of them dies, what's going to happen? Well, they're all going to run. No, one of us dies, we just walk over the dead one and keep right on going. Now that's cruel, ain't it? But that's the way the kingdom is. That's how you move forward in life. Some of you, because you got divorced, that's where your life ended. Some of you, because something happened, that's where your life ended. You, when that thing died, you just sat right there and said, oh, I can't mess with that. Some of you just need to walk on it. You just need to walk over it and get past it and say, you know what? There's grass on the other side of this dead thing, and I'm getting past this dead thing to get to the grass. All right. I know it's scaring you, all this bad weather. Unable to guide their own flight, though capable of crossing large spaces, they are at the mercy of the wind. They have the ability. The ants prepare. The conies position, find their hiding places. The locusts have one ability. One ability. They can propel themselves. That's all they can do. Look at the person beside you. And ask them, are you prepared? For whatever God wants out of your life, are you prepared? Look at them again and ask them, say, when problems come, do you have a rock to run to? When problems come, do you have somewhere to hide? I mean, as soon as it comes, oh, that's fine, I'm good. And thirdly, look at them. And just smile and say, how high can you jump? How high can you jump? That's really all that there is. When you talk about somebody doing something for the kingdom or yourself, it's not that they did anything. You go look at Mother Teresa. What was her ability? She just propelled herself. And she let the wind take her wherever God intended. It doesn't matter if it's Billy Graham. If you like Billy Graham. Billy Graham didn't put out posters and become great Billy Graham. What did he do? He said, I'm going to be the very best at what I can be. He got his legs positioned, told his wife, said, look, I'm going to be gone a lot. Why? Because God's called me to minister and I may have to preach this gospel all over the world. It's what I'm called to do. And he jumped. And he jumped and the wind got a hold of him. And the wind took him wherever it wanted to take him. That's what you do in life. It's not you telling God what you will do and won't do. It's you realizing the only thing you've got in your ability, in your capability, is that you either are going to jump or you aren't going to jump. And if you jump, then it's God that decides where you land. Quit trying to figure out your life. It ain't your life. Quit trying to figure out your destiny. You don't got a destiny. You died. Christ lives through you. If He wants you to work in a factory the rest of your life, that's fine. If God wants you to minister, that's fine. If God wants you to do this or that, that's fine. But your job is to, when He gives you the opportunity, Him, can you jump? I can jump. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how it's going to be when I get there. But I can do one thing pretty good. I can jump. And when I jump, all of a sudden the wind catches hold. And I end up going places I never thought I would be able to go. Number four. My watch don't work. I don't have one. I'm good. I wish I had 2 hours for this one. Because of all the ones that are listed, notice the spider. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. palaces. I love that. All the other creatures, all the other things do not choose. The coney has to stay near the rock. The ant has to stay near the mound. The locust, it just jumps and says, wherever you want me, God. But can I tell you the height of where God wants you to be? He wants you to become the person that He designed you to be. So that you can grab hold of things that most people can't grab hold of. I preached a sermon years ago, and I hope that it'll stay with you for your life, because it's, you can only possess what you can hold under pressure. If you can't hold what you've got a hold of right now under pressure, if it's killing you, you got to let go of it. You can't stand it, then it's not yours. It's too big for you. There's a certain amount of weight that I can pick up, I can raise over my head, and I can say, I own that. There's some amounts of weight I start to pick up, and I feel 46 years old. And I feel things pulling that used to not pull, and things coming this way. And I'm like, oh. What are you going to do? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to get one end, somebody get the other, but I can't lift that no more. You can only hold, you can only call yours what you can possess under pressure. It's the only way it works. The spider grasped hold. Now let me share some things about the spider. Y'all, unless y'all just ready to go. I'm not. The spider is not an animal in the fact that it's a mammal or anything of that nature. And it's not an insect. An insect has three body parts and six legs. That's an insect. Has three body parts and has six legs. An ant would be an insect. But a spider comes from its own totally different category. They had to create a totally different category for a spider. They call it an arachnoid. It's just totally different. Some of you look at that spider set up and you're like, oh, man, I don't like spiders. That's because spiders don't care what you think. Spiders aren't scared of you. They'll climb up in your bed if they think, I want in that bed. And they don't care if you're in it or not. You can get out if you want to, but I don't want to go anywhere. Spiders are amazing. I can be as big as I am, 200 and let's just say 200 pounds. 200 pounds plus, and I can walk through my kitchen and there'll be a spider sitting there. Now, I got dogs in my yard. If I walk up to them, they'll run off. But this little spider, this eight-legged little arachnoid can stand there and I can walk up to it and that thing will just... It doesn't run like it's terrified. It just stops. It's like, if we got to get it on, we'll get it on. I done decided this is my spot. And even if it decides to move, it doesn't just... Everything it's got, it just eases on under the couch, under the chair. If it wants to build a web, it don't ask questions. It doesn't ask permission. It just decides, I want to build. It chooses where it wants to be. Spider is one that ends up somewhere. Look at the person beside you and say, are you going to end up somewhere? Now see that, you can't look at them and say, I don't know. A spider determines within itself, I am going to the palace. I am going to live there. The king can live there. Everybody else can live there. But over in the corner, I'm going to have a web. And it's going to be there whether he likes it or not. I like it. It's not where you start. It's where you want to be. And a spider, no matter where it begins, out in the yard, in a tree, somewhere in the woods, but it says, I want to live in Tim Lott's home. He has air conditioning, and I like it in there. And he decides some way, if they ever crack that door, and I crack the door open just long enough for him to sneak on in, he's like, I don't need to ask permission. I want to be in here. And then he starts building webs, and Elise looks at me and says, did you see that spider? She doesn't look at me and say, did you invite that spider into our house? Did you give him permission to come in? No, they're spiders. They choose. 30,000 species of spiders. 700 of them in the Middle East. This is one of the Middle Eastern style spiders. One of 700 different types. So when you see a spider, there's 30,000 types that you can run across. Some are incredible in what they can do. But let me tell you a few things about a spider and I'll let you go. Number one is this. They are not dependent on external elements. Let me explain this about a spider. Because it is capped, the first three, it has prepared. It has positioned. It has propelled. It has reached a place in its life to where it says, now I go where I want to go. When you're prepared, that's why Jesus looked at the rich young ruler. And he said, I want to be in the kingdom. What do I have to do to inherit? And Jesus said, real simple. Sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and follow me. What was his problem? He couldn't pass the first three. He saw what he wanted. He knew where he wanted to be. I want to be in the king's palace. I want to be there. But because he couldn't pass the first three, he could not answer number four. Because he was not prepared to let everything go. He was not positioned to cling to God and to Christ instead of everything else. He could not do what? He could not propel. And when you live your life unable to answer the first three, it makes number four horrible because number four is what people ask you. We've got the baccalaureate service next week. You know, I hated it being a senior. Because everybody started asking me, what are you going to be when you grow up? That goes a long way. What are you going to be? That puts pressure up until right now. The only question I have is whether I want to eat pizza or Pop-Tarts or this and that. And whether I can sleep on the couch versus sleeping on the bed. And those were the big deals. But when somebody comes up to you and says, so what are you going to be when you go to college? What are you going to major in? What's going to be your career? What are you going to do the rest of your life? That's number four. And to do that means I have got to be prepared. I have to be positioned. I have to be able to propel myself and ready to go so that I can make a decision on my own. A spider is powerful in the fact that it does not have to ask permission of nobody. It doesn't have to have your like him. He doesn't care if you want him there. He goes where he wants to be. Where he has determined in his heart, I'm supposed to be. This is what God determined in us. Let me tell you something. They're independent in their cells. They have seven different strands that come out of them. Everything from literally silk type strands. And when they build their webs, that's what normally we see, right? The webs. You know what a web is? It's five of those different strands of the seven wound together to make one web. It's five wound together. When they collect their prey and wind their prey up, that's a different web. It has the ability to hold it a different way. It allows it to dissolve inside a different way. When it has eggs, it's a different web that it uses to wrap the eggs up so it'll decay and it'll rot at a certain time. Everything that the spider needs is already inside itself. It produces from inside itself everything that's needed to accomplish what it wants. When you carry that on a spiritual sense, you don't. Solomon couldn't even grasp what he was saying. That when the Holy Spirit comes into us, everything that we have need of, everything that we need can be produced from outside or from inside of us. Everything comes out of our bellies. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, listen, if you drink of this water, it's going to be different water. That's what he tried to explain to Nicodemus. If you get this, it's going to be different. Why? Because now the external doesn't matter. From inside your belly shall flow issues of life. From inside of you. Now, you're going to shoot out what you want to be, where you're going, what you want to. You don't need somebody around to okay you. You don't need somebody around to confirm you. You already know who you are. You already know where you're going. You don't need anybody. It's all inside. And whatever I need, I can produce it. The eggs are produced from the inside. Then they are removed and wrapped. Everything that it needs, a home. The home is produced from the inside. Nothing is from the outside. It's all produced from the inside. And God made this creature just like He made man in that sense. In Genesis, here's what He looked at man. He created man, designed man, fixed man. And then this is what He said. Go and be fruitful. He didn't say, go find you some fruit. He said, you go and be fruitful. Why? Because everything you need is inside of you. Everything you ever want to be can be produced from the inside. Everything that you're called to be can be. But you don't need a man. You don't need a wife. You don't need a husband. You don't need kids. You don't need. Now, if you want to add those things to your life, God bless you. It's a good thing. But you don't have to have anything for you to be what God's called you to be. You have everything you need on the inside. The spider is not dependent on any other elements. Well, Brother Lott, how does that work in my life? Well, let's say we want to build a building. I look and I tell God, God, I really want to get a building. We really need a building. Man, we need a building. Now, most of us think that that's where miracles take place. That's how we think. We ask for something and God gives it to us. That's not the way it works. Because you're built like a what? A spider. So when you ask God for something, what happens? God gives you visions. Dreams, ideas, desires. Because what is He doing? He's trying to pull from out of you what will finally come to life. Some of you struggle with happiness because you're always looking for somebody externally to fix what is only going to be fixed from inside of you. I know this is probably above your head, but this is good stuff. And because you're always grasping at external things, you never realize that from in you, that's where you're going to help. If you cut a spider web, you know what happens? A spider starts to fall. And he's reaching and grasping like any of us would. That's instinct. But here's what he realizes. I protect and save myself. He all of a sudden just shoots one web. And then you cut the web and he's falling, but all of a sudden he just, what does he do? I'll let my own self down. I'll fall the way I want to fall. Oh, you don't. See, when problems come and troubles come in the world and the enemy says, I got you and I'm going to cut you down. Even when he cuts all the strings loose in your life and it feels like your life is falling apart, you have within yourself the ability to go, oh no, oh no, I'm not going down like that. I'm going to rob you. I'm going to take a job. I'm going to mess up your, oh no. You can cut everything I got away. You can tear down the web. But I got inside of me the ability to build it all back. I can build it. It's designed in me. I already know how to do it. I got everything. I don't need you to give me $1, one stick, one smile. I don't need one thing from you. I have the ability to survive on my own. I can produce everything I need on my own. I can make it on my own. Spider has the ability next to do this. When a spider creates its web, it has the ability to produce its own meals. It builds a web and says, it'll come to me. Isn't that pretty cool? It doesn't get all in a rush. It don't get in a hurry. It builds a web and sits over in the corner and says, well, any minute now, God will provide. I love that. He don't run around trying to shoo flies into his net. He doesn't run around. He just waits. And when it happens, he's like, oh, there we go. And we're not going to get into all the other stuff where he takes from his enemies, from the enemies around him that would want him dead. He cocoons them, sucks the life out of them, and keeps right on cruising. He survives off the enemies that were built to destroy him. We're not even going to go there. But let's go here. You ever wonder how a spider is able to walk across a sticky web? That's always seemed odd to me when I was growing up. Okay, that web's so sticky that everything else, you touch it yourself and you can't even get it off of you. It'll stick to you. Man, I used to hate walking through the woods and if I didn't have a hat on or something, you just woof. And I mean, you try to pull it off and it wouldn't let go, and it was a mess. And yet here's this spider that just does what? Doop, 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 doop. Doop, 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 doop. Just, you're going to like this if you're spiritual. The spider has one more ability inside itself that a lot of people don't know. It has the ability to produce oil. Oil flows from the spider. Things that stop everything else, things that trap everybody else, he just glides across. He just glides through. Stuff that's catching everybody else and causing everybody else off, he just eases across it. Because he has oil that nothing else has the ability to do. He can ease across problems and trials. Why? Because the oil of the Spirit that has been poured over us gives us the ability to be able to move across the problems and the situations of life. And we don't get trapped in it and caught up in it. We don't get messed up in all the stuff that the world does. Why? Because we have been given oil. God puts us right in the middle of the mess, says, I'm going to put you right in the web, but I'm going to give you oil where everybody else runs into problems. You don't run into problems. That's good stuff. This spider has that ability where the web is not sticky to him. And the fourth thing about a spider is this, and I'm through. Remember I said everything is already inside a spider, right? Well, be careful if you make a spider mad. There are some spiders that have enough venom, they can kill a human. But the venom is in his mouth. When we're attacked or hurt, our weapons are not the weapons of might and strength. Our lives sometimes feel like, you know what, the devil just feels like he's just stepping on me and just mash. But you know what? He's terrified of you. Why? Because your venom is in the words that come out of your mouth. Jesus, when he faced the devil, he was weak. 40 days of fasting, he was as weak as a coney. He was as weak as an ant. He was as weak as a spider. And he sat there on that hill, and Satan came to him and said, let's talk. We both know I can crush you. Go ahead and worship me, and I'll give you everything you want. What does he do? He speaks. Go ahead, I know you're hungry. Turn this bread. Turn these rocks into bread. He speaks. He speaks the word. What does Paul later say? He said, we have been given the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. Where does it have to come out of? Your mouth. Do you realize that every time you open your mouth, a sword comes out? When you speak the word of God, a sword comes out against your enemies. It comes out against those that are speaking. Your very words are a weapon against the enemy of your life. Just like a spider, You don't have to be big. But I can be in my house and my kids can say, Dad, I saw a spider in our room. Every one of them clear out of the room. I'm thinking, this is my house. I pay rent on this house. I community bank owns it and they let me live there. I'm slowly getting to where I own it myself. But you know what? My kids will vacate part of my property because one spider decided I'm going to live here. Solomon said, you know what? I live in a castle. I've got all these people. And yet here's one spider. He lives here too because he chooses to. And you can't get rid of them. You can swat the thing down and next day it'll be bigger if not stronger. Why? Because the spider has the ability to choose within itself, this is where I belong. Today, I want you to take a moment. And I want you to realize, I probably am not the strongest person in this room. I'm probably not the smartest. I'm probably not whatever it is that the enemy looks at you and says. Whether it's looks or shape or size or whatever he uses to make you feel like you're not that. You know what you have to finally do? You finally have to agree with him. For some of us, that's very hard for us to look and say, look, I just can't do this on my own. I can't do this by myself. But your life will change when you can. Because an ant may not be strong and he may not be big, but he's prepared. A coney may not be big or strong and can't even dig a hole. But God made him a house. A locust may not can fly like a bird. He may look up and say, man, look at them birds. But all he can do is jump. On a windy day and hope he goes another mile. The spider is unique in this way. It has eight eyes. Spider has eyes all over around its head. Eight eyes. But here's the funny thing. It can't hardly see. It has eight eyes and can't see. You know what it depends on? The hair-like follicles on the end of its feet. It feels. It feels when something hits the net and says, oh, there we go. We as Christians have to reach that level. We spend most of our time, well, this is what I see. The next time somebody says that, you ought to look at them and say, yeah, but you ain't got good eyes. Here's the way I see it. Yeah, but you're half blind. I know this much. No, you don't. A spider, even though it's got eight eyes, it depends on what it feels. We as Christians are the same way. We live and breathe and have our lives because we're prepared, because we position ourselves in a safe place, because we are people that propel ourselves into the future. We're not going to sit there and hang around the dead things. If we got to walk over the dead stuff of our life to get to the live stuff, that's what we do. And finally, if you want your life to be what it's supposed to be, then you got to decide. I was not born to die here. I was born for the castle. I was born for the castle. Brother Lott, what is your final dream? What's over the next 15 years of your life? What do you want to do? What's God telling you? Well, I'm pretty much through building buildings. I know that breaks some folks' heart, but at least this kind of building. Somehow, some way in my heart, I want to have a pastor's retreat. I want All Seasons to be a catalyst in building cabins and on a lake. In the summertime, they can fish, they can bring their families, a lot of pastors, and I got to live on both ends. When I moved here, I paid myself to preach. So I've lived on that end where you're in small churches and you're in small places and you can't afford vacations and you can't afford, and you need breaks. This world, I'm telling you, dealing with people in this world and dealing with this world, pastors go through it now. They're falling off like flies. And God put in my heart and said, give them a safe place. Give them a place where them and their wives can go and hang out for a few days. In the summertime, they can fish. We got, Elise can carry them horseback riding, if you'd like to do. We would come up with the activities they could come and do and just free and get to do it. In the wintertime, some of the guys that like to hunt say, hey, if you want to sign up for deer hunting, get your license, and we'll pick you up at this time in the morning. We're going to take you hunting. And let them enjoy 1 week of their life and recharge. You say, Brother Locke, that's a big dream. I know it. So was every other thing I've ever done. But I feel like at the right time, God's going to say, jump. And when He does, I'm going to get high enough. And the wind's going to be blowing enough that I'm going to blow over to that patch. I'd like to fly with you. Because here's the thing about locusts. They fly like an army. It's not one. It's multitudes. I hope you eventually reach the spider stage. Decide, here's where I was meant to be. Here's the marriage I was supposed to have. Here's the life I'm supposed to have. And go get it. Because it's in you. Everything you need is in you. God made it that way. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for today. Thank you that I don't hear the rain hitting so hard right now so we can run out and get to our cars if we need to. Father, you've been so good to us. And there are people in here who've got dreams so much bigger than me. Their lives are supposed to touch so many more people than mine. God, hopefully, something I've said through you today will give them the courage to position themselves, prepare themselves, propel themselves, and then decide, I was born to be here, and go get it. I love to hear the testimonies of those that fly. God, I ask you to let them in this room do that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.